Good morning, church. One more time, y'all are still, well, you're not waking up. Anyway, good morning, church. All right, I love it. It's good to see you this morning, and especially not only the ones here, but we also bid a great welcome to our live stream audience. There's quite a lot of you who take advantage of this time, and we welcome you. In fact, we've got some, I'm kind of partial to some of them because some are in Midland and some are in San Antonio, my kiddos, and we love to see them online. Well, I want to encourage you to register your attendance online. There is the app Wiley Methodist, and also if you're a guest with us, we encourage you to take this blue card and fill it out and place it in the boxes, the offering boxes on either side, so that we can keep in touch with you and encourage you in your faith. But today I want to share with you a word of scripture, and I'd invite you to stand as we are called to worship. Psalm 103. Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise His holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things He does for me. Well, let's pray together. Father God, it's with a great deal of joy that we come into your presence today to honor and praise you. And we pray that the words of our mouths and the very meditations of our hearts will bring glory to you. For this we pray in Jesus' name, and let the people of God say, amen. Let's continue in worship.
Good morning, everybody. I hope you're having an amazing morning. Will you worship with us?
Washed in the blood of the Lamb.
for that day. But you know what? We have this beautiful Sunday morning. God is here with us now. And I think we can have a little bit of that joy right here, don't y'all?
Amen.
I think so. So let's keep worshiping in God's glory with that joy in our heart.
A few more coming. Hey, Miss
Piper.
Hey, yeah.
Sorry.
Hey, Billy. Oh, I was going to say Marv has his microphone on.
Yes, I do.
Okay, wait. We're going to be talking at the same time. How are y'all this morning? You're good. How are y'all this morning? Good. Are you awake, Grayson? Yeah? All right. Okay, give me a big smile. Let me see the smiles. Let me see the smiles. All right. Well, good. I love seeing your smiling faces because it is a joy to come to church, isn't it? Because we get to come and celebrate together and learn about God, don't we? Yeah. So, and we get to learn about some other things too. So I brought my, what's this?
Bee.
All right. Who likes bees? You like bees? You don't like bees? Well, this was a cute bee, right? But this doesn't look like a real bee, right? So do y'all know anything about bees? What?
They make honey.
They make honey. That's right. What else?
They can lick pollen from the flowers.
They take pollen from the flowers. Very good. Grayson?
They have a stinger.
They can sting you, right? Who's been stung by a bee?
Me.
Me. Yeah. Did you? Yeah. Huh? It didn't sting you, but a bee can sting, so that's right. But, oh, there's some other things about a bee that I thought I would share with you. A bee has four wings. My little bee only has two, but real bees have four wings, and they flap their wings 11,000 times per minute. Can you flap your arms that fast? Can you count? What number are you on? I think I'd lose count after about 20, right? Is that really fast for them to flap their wings? Because they're pretty fast. They just zoom, 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 zoom all over the place, right? They're very busy bees, right? They stay busy all the time. They spend hours every day gathering the pollen or the nectar to make honey. Who likes honey? Do y'all like honey? Do y'all like honey? You don't like honey? You like honey? Okay. But they also do other things. Do you know they protect the hive? They make the honeycomb where the honey is, where they make the honey. They do? Yeah. Is that right? Okay. And they clean the hive. Do you know that bees clean the hive? And they take care of other bees. They work hard every day for the good of the hive. So worker bees have a lot to do, and they do it well. If they didn't work hard, guess what we wouldn't have? We wouldn't have honey. So is honey important for us? Yes, because honey's good. You can cook with it and you can eat it, right? So, well, do you know, I got to thinking about that. Worker bees are a good example of what it means to work with all your heart. That means to work hard and to do what is right. Do you think, are you a worker bee? You don't, do you go around collecting pollen? Do you work hard? Do you do things? Yeah. So what are some things that you do?
A bee.
You clean the toilet. Okay, that's very good. Okay. Do you clean your room?
Yes.
Okay. Do you obey your mom and dad?
Yes.
Yes. Do you go to school?
Yes.
Do you go to daycare?
No.
No?
We're not babies.
You're not babies? Okay. Do you play with your friends?
Yes.
Yes. Are you kind to others?
Yes.
Do you listen?
Yes.
Do you do everything you're supposed to?
Yes.
Do you come to church?
Yes.
So that is your job. You can be busy bees doing all of those things. Did you know that? And you can work hard at all those things. You can read the Bible and you can pray. All of those things is what God calls us to do. And we need to do it with all of our heart. Did you know that? So, you know, God wants us to work hard and do what we do every day and do what is pleasing and right to Him. And it says in Colossians 3:23, it says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. Amen. So every day is a gift from God. Did you know that? Every day you get up, God says, here's you a new day. Did you not know that? Yes, it's a new day that says, okay, God, what do you want me to do today? So you can get up and ask God what He wants you to do today. He wants you to do the things that are right and true and kind and good and obedient. Did you know that? But do you ever make choices that are not right? Like, do you ever disobey your mom and dad? Never. You always do everything they tell you to do?
Sometimes.
Are you always kind to your brother or sister?
No.
Okay. So we make those choices, right? But should we do what, just like a bee, and get up every morning and do and choose to do what is right and work hard at it, right? So whatever you're doing, A few things I mentioned. You're playing and cleaning your room and picking up your toys and coming to church and learning. God wants us to do it with all of our heart. And he wants us to do with joy and love. And he wants us to be kind to others, just like a busy bee. So we need to be busy bees for God each day and work hard and do all that God wants us to do. So can y'all be busy bees this week and work really hard? So can I ask moms and dads next week if y'all were busy bees this week and you did everything they told you to do? Yeah, you think they're going to say yes, they were so good. You think they'll say that? Okay, I'll ask mom and dads, okay? All right, so let's be busy bees this week, okay? All right, let's say a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, Lord. I thank you that you love us, and thank you that you created the bee, and thank you that we can learn from that because you have created this world and you have taught it. You teach us everything that we need to know so that we can live each day for you, Lord Jesus. Help us to work hard with all of our heart to do what is right and pleasing to you. Lord, bless these boys and girls that are here today, and bless us as we learn and grow in you, Lord Jesus. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's go. They went out without us, Piper.
Good morning, church. Good morning. Some lessons are not just for children, right? I just don't like that part where they're going to come back next week and ask questions. That bothers me quite a bit. Let's try to get off on the right start, shall we? Let's stand together as we say the Apostles' Creed together. It affirms what we believe. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy universal church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. You know, when we come to church on these Sunday mornings and We find ourselves in a special place. And as we've come to understand it in the scriptures, when we come together to worship the Lord, when we come together to be a part of the family of God, we're standing on holy ground. It is holy ground here. And the Lord wants us to come here and by his Spirit draw us to meet the very love of God and to stand together in a place where we can experience the presence of the Lord, a place where we can speak to him and hear him. We can be introduced to the promises of God in this place. This is the house of prayer, the house where the family of God meet the Father. In Isaiah 40:31, it says, "But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." And together this morning, we declare that the Lord is the author of our story. And not one word he has spoken will fail. This is his promise. We need to grab a hold of that, and we can. And together, we can be a part of the house of prayer every week. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. You alone are God, and there is none like you. We submit to you. We want to hear from you. We want to stand on holy ground, O Lord. There are people around the world who do not understand or want this holy ground, but it's life-changing for us. We claim it as our own. And I just pray, Lord, I know, Lord, that there are those here who are hurting this morning. I speak your peace. I speak your name over them. I pray for their comfort. Lord, we love you and we thank you. We praise you for all that you do for us. Keep us from evil. Keep us from harm. And keep us from sickness. This is our prayer, O Lord. Now together let us pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I remind you, family, that there is offering opportunity. There is tithe opportunity. At both doors, there are boxes. And then upon the screens, there is also electronic ways of giving. And I encourage you to give as the Lord would lead you. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you'll stand, if you're able, and continue worshiping with us. perfectly with his opening scripture. Isn't it amazing how God works, right? He has a plan even in the little things, and that gives me so much comfort, right? That he has a plan even if we don't talk about it, right? He has one, right, Mark? And so just as we sing this next song, think of your 10,000 reasons why you're worshiping.
It's a new day dawning. It's time to
Thank you, praise team. What an opportunity we have to enter the presence of the Lord each and every Sunday morning. And I appreciate you live stream folks for being here. You mean a lot to us. We wish we could see you in person, but we're grateful for what you contribute as well. I want to take a moment of personal privilege to appeal to you online and here that Elevate Elementary Camp, which starts July the 7th and goes through the 11th, we are in need of male counselors. Now, basically what I'm talking about is, you know, you may think, oh gosh, I don't have a counseling degree. That's not what we're talking about. We are basically talking about dads who are willing to be a part of a cabin of probably five or a little more, hopefully five, but it could be upwards of that. If more of you answer, that'll be where it'll be. But a cabin of about five folks who range in age going into fourth, fifth, and sixth grades. I'll tell you what, that's the best experience you'll ever have. We'll need you from Sunday evening, the 6th, until noon on Friday, the 11th. And if you're interested, particularly I wanted to encourage you to if you're online, if you'd look at the comment section of the page there, you can text some stuff. If you can text some contact information so that we can get in touch with you and get that process started. Thanks so much for your prayerful consideration. I'm not just talking about the online audience. I'm talking to y'all. So guys, if there's a tug on your heart, it's Holy Spirit saying, go for it. So thank you for your kind and careful consideration. Well, this morning we are going to be looking at John chapter 17 and the verses that we're really focusing in on, but we're going with the whole chapter. But the ones that stick out to me most are verses 20 and 21. John chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. My prayer is not for them, meaning the disciples, alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. That's you and me. That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for the fact that when he faced his greatest challenge of his earthly life, and that was going to the cross, that he had us on his mind, and that he was praying for us even then. And that humbles me particularly to realize that we are and continue to be the focus of his prayers. Help us, Holy Spirit, to fully grasp what he means by that and apply it personally to our lives today. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, when I was the pastor in Tahoka in the early 1990s, I found myself in the emergency room at Covenant Lakeside Hospital in Lubbock. The neurosurgeon who examined me said that I had swelling and bleeding behind my left eye. Now, needless to say, I was incredibly concerned, but a phrase kept running through my head: thank you, God, for loving me, and thank you, God, for healing me. The very next day, an unexpected visitor came to my hospital room. He was one of my colleagues in ministry, Shel Dennison, who at the time was the pastor at the Methodist Church in Seminole, the one who actually, coincidentally, I would follow him several years later. But Shell had an incredible ministry in healing, and he encouraged me, and he prayed for me. I believe he anointed me at that point. And the day later, I was going to go to an MRI. And after that MRI, the report came back. It's static and treatable with steroids. Isn't that amazing? I thought it was a brain bleed. I thought the prognosis was pretty grim, but it was static and treatable. And in fact, it did after steroid treatment. It went away and has never returned. I gratefully received that news that day, and I gave thanks to God for my healing and for my praying friend who came right when I needed him. When you hear the words, "I'm praying for you," how does that make you feel? Especially if you're dealing with a physical or spiritual struggle, it really brings comfort and strength to your soul. And even better is the response when they come alongside you and say, "May I pray for you right now?" I know at that point that someone is taking time to make prayer for me a priority. Well, what if Jesus said to you, "I am praying for you"? If you could hear him speak in your spirit, "I'm praying for you," would that make a difference in your life? How would that make you feel? Well, you know he did say those words. He prayed immediately for his disciples. He continues to pray for you and me. In John chapter 17, verse 9, Jesus said, "I am praying for them." Let those words fill your soul, brother and sister. This prayer was prayed just before Jesus was betrayed and arrested, and knowing that his death was imminent, you and I were on his mind. How about that for love? His thoughts during some of his final moments on earth were not on himself. He had every right to be inward focused, but his final moments on earth were not on himself, but they were focused on others. The prayer of Jesus in John 17 is also called his high priestly prayer. Before Jesus faced the cross, he prayed for his disciples then and now, just like the Jewish high priest prayed for the people of Israel. Now, the structure of the prayer, as you look at it in John 17, is in three parts. Number one, Jesus looks upward as he magnifies the Father, knowing that his work on earth is finished. Next, Jesus looks outward as he prays for the well-being and care of his disciples, knowing he's sending them into enemy territory. And then finally, Jesus looks forward as he prays for the unity and the holiness of the future church, knowing that the world will base their belief in God on the actions of those who believe him. So let's examine those three areas today. Number one, upward. After saying all these things, Jesus looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son that he can give glory back to you. For you have given him authority over everyone. He gives eternal life to each one you've given him. And this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. I brought glory to you here on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Now, Father, bring me into that glory we shared before the world began." You know, it's pretty well a common practice for us when we pray to bow our heads. But I think another very important aspect of prayer is to lift our eyes to the Lord. I remember one of the things I did the morning after I came into a personal relationship with God, I walked out onto the campus at McMurray, and I literally looked up and gave thanks to God for what he had done for me the night before. And so Jesus, in an attitude of, of praise and an attitude of prayer, lifted up his eyes to heaven. That's a way that you and I can come into the Lord's presence. And Jesus prays that he might receive glory. Now, that's not a self-serving request. He's simply asking to receive back what was his to begin with. Remember, Jesus gave up his rights as God and became a human, in fact, a slave, and died on a cross. Jesus laid aside his pre-incarnate glory with the Father when he came to earth to be born, to serve, to suffer, and to die. Since his work on earth is finished, he is now asking that his pre-incarnate glory be given back to him again so that the Son might truly glorify the Father in heaven. Imagine what Jesus did. He left heaven, became a human to die for the people he created. This is kind of an interesting illustration, but if you and I became an ant to save an anthill, it wouldn't even come close in comparison to what Jesus did for us. If anyone could bask in the glory for what they'd done, it would be Jesus. But Jesus chooses not to bask in his glory, but we rather reflect that glory back to God. Do we pray and live, brothers and sisters, so that people see the importance and the glory of God lived out in our lives? The sole purpose of our lives is to live in such a way that God is made known and that people are able to see his life lived out in us. The second point is outward. Outward, beginning with verse 6. Jesus said, I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word, and now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you've given me, for they are yours. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be the one as we are one. You ever sent a child off to first grade, or off to college, or off to work in a big city, or off to another destination? What's the thing that's foremost in your mind? Probably that they will be safe, that they will be protected, that they will be kept from harm, because they are no longer under your watch or under your arms. You hope, know, you pray earnestly for their safety. Jesus is praying for his disciples then and now. He knows he's leaving and that bodily he won't be with them. He won't be the physical protector as he has been. He is sending them off on their own. He is praying as any faithful parent would for their protection. You know, several years ago, there was a nature show on television about a black bear that gave birth to two cubs. One cub died soon after birth, and 3 weeks later, the mother died, and the remaining cub was left to fend for itself. Now, you know, an orphaned cub in that condition is kind of like a walking buffet for predators. And of course, the camera immediately shows a hungry-looking mountain lion in the vicinity of that cub. Well, one day, the orphan cub encountered a giant male black bear. You know, the little cub was absolutely cowering in fear at that giant male black bear's sheer mass. Now, the larger bear peered around and seemed to realize that the mother bear wasn't anywhere to be found. That's kind of unusual because male bears sometimes will consider little cubs predators as well. But he looked around, saw that the mother bear wasn't anywhere to be found, gave the little cub a friendly nudge, and then the camera shows the little bear happily trailing along after the larger one. The adoption papers were signed, sealed, and registered at the county seat in that nudge. Papa Bear proceeded to show the little cub how to grub for insects, how to catch fish, how to scratch his back against a tree. One day, the two bears became separated. The cub began to cry and looked frantically for his new father, but he couldn't find him anywhere. The cub approached a stream where he'd learned to fish, and something caught his attention. He looked up to see a mountain lion ready to pounce. It was that same mountain lion that had stalked the cub for the entire show. Now, there was no way that mountain lion would have gone for that cub if Papa Bear was around. But now, the camera zoomed in on the cub, and the cub automatically mimicked the posture of his adopted father when he was threatened. He stood on his hind legs, he bared his teeth, and then exactly the same way his new father would have done, this cub let loose a mighty growl that should have shook the forest. But instead, only a tiny bear cub squeak came out. Well, you knew what was about to happen, so you covered the kids' eyes. Or you did something to divert their attention from the TV, but to everyone's astonishment, the mountain lion lowered his head and ran off in the opposite direction. Now the camera pans back to the little cub still standing tall on his hind legs. And then the camera moves back and the viewers see what that little cub couldn't. A few yards behind him, at full ferocious height, his sharp white teeth bared in a snarl, stood Daddy Bear. He may not have made a sound, but he was there. So even though the cub couldn't see his father stood guard protecting his young. The little cub had power available greater than anything he could produce on his own. In John chapter 14, verses 15 through 17, Jesus tells the disciples, "If you love me, obey my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world can't recognize him or receive him because it isn't looking for him, doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be with you." Following Pentecost, we see these same disciples filled with God's Holy Spirit and boldly proclaiming the gospel. And one particular episode in Acts 4:13, where Peter and John are proclaiming the gospel before the Sanhedrin said, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. And so now let's move forward. Jesus says, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." Friends, did you ever realize that Jesus looked out over the sea of years and saw you? He prayed that you would know what Paul prayed for you in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 through 19. "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe." You see, in his prayer for all believers, Jesus saw generations of believers all the way to our present day. Paul, Martin Luther, Billy Graham, John Wesley, the Asbury Awakening, all the way to us here at Wiley Methodist. Hebrews 4:14 through 16 says this, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. our great high priest, my friends, is still praying for us.
Amen.
Amen. A missionary on furlough told this true story while visiting his home church in Michigan. While serving at a small field hospital in Africa, every 2 weeks I traveled by bicycle through the jungle to a nearby city for supplies. This was a journey of 2 days, and it required camping overnight at the halfway point. On one of these journeys, I arrived in the city where I planned to collect money from a bank, purchase medicine and supplies, and then began my 2 day journey back to the field hospital. Upon arrival in the city, I observed two men fighting, one of whom had been seriously injured. The missionary continued, I treated him for his injuries and at the same time talked to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. I then traveled 2 days camping overnight and I arrived home without incident. Now 2 weeks later, I repeated my journey and upon arriving in the city, I was approached by that same young man I'd treated. He told me, I know that you carry money and medicines. Some friends and I followed you into the jungle knowing you would camp overnight. We planned to kill you and take your money and drugs, but just as we were about to move into your camp, we saw that you were surrounded by 26 armed guards. Now at this, the missionary laughed and he said, you must be mistaken because I was certainly all alone in that jungle campsite. And the young man pressed the point and said, no, sir, I was not the only person to see the guards. My five friends also saw them and we all counted them. It was because of those guards that we were afraid and left you alone. Now at this point in the sermon, one of the men in the Michigan congregation jumped to his feet and interrupted the missionary and asked, can you tell me the exact day this happened? And so the missionary told the congregation the date, and the man who interrupted him told him this story. On the night of your incident in Africa, it was morning here, and I was preparing to go play golf. I was about to putt when I felt the strong urge to pray for you. In fact, the urging of the Lord was so strong that I called men in this church to meet with me here in the sanctuary to pray for you. Would all of those men who met me on that day stand up? And the men who met together to pray that day stood up. The missionary wasn't concerned with who they were. He was too busy counting how many men he saw. And there were 26. Jesus prayed for us, my friends, and he is still praying. And we, his servants, are listening and ready for action. Because you see, James 5, verse 16 says, the power of a person living right with God is something powerful to be reckoned with. You know, my friends, we're going to have people in this sanctuary, not just here in the front, but in other places, who are going to be ready to pray for you today. Don't leave this place if you have a burden or if you have a concern that needs to be addressed. Let folks pray with you and for you. May we continue to follow the Lord in that glorious work of prayer, friends, to the glory of God. And let the people of God say, amen. 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 Well, let's pray together. Father God, we are grateful today for the prayer of Jesus for us. We thank you, Lord, that he encouraged us to look upward, to know that our trust should always be on you and in you. We thank you for helping us to open our eyes and look around. Like Elijah, help us to tell our servant that those who are with us are more than those who are against us, that we truly, truly are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, and that we don't need to be afraid, that we can trust you in all situations. And finally, Lord, help us to realize that we can look forward. That we can look forward to the fact that what you have begun in us, that you are going to continue until it is completed. Lord Jesus, help us to realize that there's nothing that we cannot share with you. That we have the opportunity to tell a friend, to tell someone here, hey, I need prayer. I need prayer, and I'm not leaving here until I've been prayed for and know that the answer is on its way. Thank you for the privilege of prayer. Thank you for the opportunity to know that you are able, through the power, your power at work within us, that you are able to do far more abundantly in our lives than all that we ask or think. And Lord, to you be glory for that. For it's in Jesus' name we pray, and let the people of God say, amen.
If y'all will close with us in worship and just go into this song, remembering that Jesus is there. He's praying for you to come and lay every burden before him. And if you'll just go into this last song with that in your heart.
Here is where I
brothers and sisters, I urge you that if the Lord is speaking to you, don't leave. Don't leave. He wants to meet with you. He wants to give comfort where comfort is needed. He wants to give encouragement where encouragement is needed. He wants to give strength where strength is needed. He wants to give healing where healing is needed. And there are people here in this place, not only in the front, but others in this congregation who are willing to spend time praying with you. You know, we sometimes have something else in our minds as we leave, but God is encouraging us to wait and see what He wants to do in us. Will you let Him? Will you let Him do that? Father God, as we leave today, help us not to leave yet, but help us to remain. If there's something that you have stirred in our hearts, help us to not leave until we have settled that with you. Thank you, Lord, for the body of Christ who remains here to pray with us, to encourage us, to strengthen us, to walk with us. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that Jesus prayed for us first. And thank you for your people who are praying now. Go with us through this week. Encourage and strengthen us, for we pray it in Jesus' name. And let the people of God say,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Go and tell somebody. God bless you. The altar is open.
And I will make room.
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus Himself set the example for us by being baptized Himself, and He encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.